coming up on this episode of The Break Room.
Now, what I think they did a really good job was starting it off with three separate characters in three separate regions to build exposition for each of the things that are happening in this post-apocalyptic world. For me, it felt like a select your player kind of part of the video game. Yeah. Who would you like to start as? Do you find you fit more into your Maximus? Are you more like your Lucy? You ran out of Fs to give, and so you're the ghoul. So it was kind of really nice to have that perspective going into it, and it did a really good job establishing what Fallout is all about.
Welcome back to the Wasteland. This is the Break Room After Show.
Yeah. Whoa, look at those graphics.
Oh, the Fallout one. That's cool.
That's right. Today we're talking about Amazon Prime's newest show, Fallout. Joining me today, a couple of the most hardcore gamers I know. We've got Maude Garrett.
What's up? Yeah, hardcore gamers.
Hey, baby! Jackie Jing is here.
I know, it was like hardcore. Okay.
I think so.
I'm queuing
you guys up because someone who has not played the Fallout games for offering that kind of unique perspective, we have Zach Huddleston.
That's right. The ghoul of the break room.
That's right. He's back.
What's up? This nose is a prosthetic.
You know what? What would we each be? What do we think?
Do you think
you'd be ghoul?
Aspirational ghoul. I would love to be a ghoul.
What do we think?
I am one of the skeletons where you open the stall door and he's just like on the toilet. That's me.
I'll be a fiend because I eat people.
Oh.
Actually, Maude has a doppelganger in the show.
Oh, the pretty one. No, her teeth are too perfect.
You guys look, I saw her in real life and I literally, you're both Maude? Stunning.
I literally
thought it was you at first. She's stunning.
She's gorgeous.
But yeah, she's Maude's doppelganger.
I'm pregnant.
You heard it here first. Maude's pregnant. Congratulations. So here's what we're going to do.
I'm doing my part.
That's right. Repopulation.
I feel like Maude should have worn an eye patch.
You know what? Stand by.
You don't do that. No,
Twitch?
Don't make her
Twitch?
Wear an eye patch. No. Her periphery, everything will, yeah.
It's okay. Jackie said you should go do this thing. No, and then when I went to go do it, she was like, don't you dare.
Listen,
I just didn't think you would.
I'm waiting for the cosplay, Maude. That's all I'm going to say.
That's right.
I'm waiting for the cosplay.
Oh, yeah. She's got a great Halloween costume for next year, should she choose.
Yeah, great. Done.
Perfect. Perfect. You got a few months to get knocked up. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Is that inappropriate?
Is that?
Here's how this is going to work.
Not the fingers crossed spot at the end. Sorry, moving on. Hello.
Here's how this is going to work. Similar to our movie reviews, we're going to kind of tackle categories and what we thought about them. At the end, maybe we'll give a little Wasteland score, but who knows?
Score like singing?
Yeah. We're all going to sing some Spin Doctors.
I love karaoke, but okay.
Murder style.
Okay, let's get into it.
Okay.
I want to start with the story, because it's a new story from Fallout. Executive producers, showrunners, Lisa Joy, Jonah Nolan, a married couple who worked on Westworld together. Jonah Nolan, obviously the brother of Christopher Nolan, though Jonathan Nolan, Jonah Nolan has an American accent. Chris Nolan, British accent.
They're both
separated at birth. Are they parent trapped?
No,
I don't know.
They were both raised in both England and America, and
one of them chose one.
One of them thinks that British accent sounds cooler.
That would be neat.
There you go.
That's funny.
There you go. Okay, so it's an original story. You have some folks from Bethesda, including Todd Howard, on board as executive producers to kind of guide the storytelling here. What did we think? A new story from Fallout. It's been a long time. Fallout 76 came out in 2017, something around there.
Yeah. Well, someone in the chat help us. Yeah.
So, what do we think of the overall story?
Who do you want to go first?
Let's start with Zach, because he has not played these games before.
Well, I think a couple things we're going to keep coming back to is video game adaptation.
Yep.
And for me, again, not having played the games, this was less of an adaptation and more just me kind of coming out of story. And I was talking to John a little bit about this earlier in the office. We've seen a lot of like post-apocalyptic kind of dark future content in our lives.
We're heading there.
Oh God,
it's really fast.
Well, some would argue living it, but I think like I really enjoyed this. I think especially since this was binge dropped, I appreciated the humor, the lightness with which they often dealt with extremely dark topics. It made it easier to consume 8 hours of this over the course of a weekend, then if this had been The Last of Us, a show I loved, but had a very different tone, mm-hmm. I could not have consumed 8 hours of that in one weekend mm-hmm. and felt okay about myself.
I will say, I think the biggest question to ask as well, not only is the story good, but should they have released every single episode in a binge format?
You know
or
what?
Should they have stagnated it over the course of the weeks?
I love that. Do you want to talk about that now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, hijack.
So wait, do we all like the show? Should we like... Should we?
You
want to
do general thoughts, man?
Yeah,
I'm not.
Thoughts.
I'm not producing the shit out of this show right now.
Okay.
Let's do general thoughts.
So Zach gave it the.
I give it a big old.
We're doing a vault boy. We're doing an okie dokie, which is like a mid.
Yeah.
And we're doing a wasted.
Wasted. Yeah.
Okay.
I am a part of the vault boy
Hell
campaign.
Yeah.
I thought that it paid homage to the video game beautifully. I loved all of the Easter eggs. I love seeing the vault dwellers brought to life in this way. The ghouls, the brotherhood. I thought the brotherhood was absolutely frightening. And I loved the three main characters. I love Lucy. I love Max. Walton Goggins, though, I mean, we were talking about him before we jumped into the show, and I just, brilliant. His one-liners,
yes.
Like, there's so many good ones. My favorite one, though, is when he's looking at Lucy, and she's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm you, honey. Just give
yep.
it a few years. And I literally just got chill.
And speaking of accents, we see in the flashbacks, he does not have a super cowboy
yep,
accent.
Yep.
As a ghoul, he's gone full Clint Eastwood.
Wouldn't you?
I agree.
You know, you play a cowboy your whole career, you're like, fuck it. When's the most appropriate time for me to be a cowboy?
He's also been in the ground for like 217 years. Yep. So, and he gets brought out for sort of like mercenary missions, then put back in the ground, apparently. That's a little fun.
And they were cutting off his limbs while he was in the ground or whatever.
He's seen some stuff.
Yeah.
He's seen some stuff, I would say. But to wrap it up, I was a huge fan. Like, I really, really loved it. And I thought the acting was superb. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, like, thought the performances were so convincing and heartfelt, yet extremely comedic at times. And I loved that mix-up. Because, like you said, like, The Last of Us is so great, but I don't think I could have watched that in one sitting. Like, The Last of Us is so heavy. You know?
You can only handle that much heartbreak and devastation at once.
Totally.
Yeah. And The Last of Us is a really unique case, because this show is so much more expansive. It's basically an ensemble cast. You've got your kind of leads here and there, but The Last of Us is so intimate. It's two people for the most part, and like one faction. You have the Fireflies telling one sort of like A to Z story, where this is like, you know, a lot more broad. I remember like, you know, I think it was watching episode 3 or 4, and it's like, oh yeah, Michael Emerson's head is still a MacGuffin, like this far into the show, whereas I sort of thought that would get resolved relatively quickly, but it's just being footballed around. I'm also a Vault Boy thumbs up guy. I thought the series was really fun. Someone who has played a lot of the video games, the like backfilling of details that they gave, the sort of origin of the Vault Boy, how dog meat was made by the Enclave, things like that, was like just
meat.
A nice, it's really good. Hey, they added to this world without taking away from it. They gave fans exactly probably what they would be wanting, and it was super welcoming to new folks as well.
Also, I saw John at an event, and I told John, I was like, dude, like, I think it's better than The Boys. And he was like,
No way.
And then we were just over there, and he was like,
because, you know, and we'll get into this in a second.
I think I agree.
No, I think so too. We'll get into that in a second, because, like, historically, video game adaptations have been like, well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
And I think this one did a really good job.
Yeah.
Do you want to thumbs up this guy?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yay.
Four.
Oh, guys, it's actually blowing up bigger than my thumb. We gotta run.
Is it your thumb or mine? So sad.
So I will say, if The Last of Us was like really going by the game, almost play by play, this has done a very different job. It's not just the one game. This is covering Fallout 2, 3, 4. 76, New Vegas, there's a lot to pull from. Now, what I think they did a really good job was starting it off with three separate characters in three separate regions to build exposition for each of the things that are happening in this post-apocalyptic world. You have the vault dwellers and you understand that sort of like, it's very pristine. It's sort of like encapsulated in the 1950s. They've got a strict protocol there. And it kind of sets up what the vaults are about. And then it goes into the Enclave. You see sort of like how they're trained, what they do with the dogs, which don't ever hurt a dog in a show. I will deduct a point without.
Well, I did love that they did not show on screen the euthanizing dogs. They're fine showing.
What are you talking about?
They threw it in the furnace.
But I mean, you don't see. I don't know. They didn't. It could have been so much more graphic with a dog versus. Or even.
It could be more.
Zach's like, I don't know. Was this bad that I keep doing this?
I'm just saying a show that when Doug Meat gets shot before he gets healed up, they don't show him getting shot. You kind of hear it off screen, even though they're willing to show limbs get ripped.
No, I mean in the same scene, basically when what's his face is getting his leg meat ground.
Oh my God.
It was like way worse.
I would rather see 17 heads blown off than a dog be harmed.
You know? And a furnace, no less.
Yeah.
And they were.
But then you also saw what sort of like the wasteland was all about as well. So you had like above the surface, underneath, and you had sort of like the brotherhood as well. So you kind of were able to, like, it for me felt like a select your player kind of part of the video game.
Yeah.
Who would you like to start as? Do you find you fit more into your Maximus? Are you more like your Lucy? You ran out of Fs to give, and so you're the ghoul. So it was kind of really nice to have that perspective going into it. And it did a really good job establishing what Fallout is all about, which I think is quite a hard thing to do from a single lens. So to split it up like that, really, really clever. Mm-hmm. By the end of it, though, it didn't... we're just talking about overall impressions. It didn't stick the landing with a couple of stories. It didn't tighten it up in a nice little bottom.
I could agree with that.
Yeah, it left a little bit
I could agree with that.
We're going to talk about some season two stuff at
I definitely
the
want to hash that out, though, because I do
plot
think...
Holes.
I think it was, like, genius for, like, the first few episodes, and then I did kind of catch myself in the last one being like, wait... Hold on. So I do, we can dive into that later. But.
I will say though, as a video game fan, I am just blown away. I'm in absolute awe of how they have taken things from the video game and built it into this world. Mm-hmm. They have done such a good job. Some of them were quite obvious, some of them not at all. It was super subtle, but it really encapsulated the vibe and what Fallout is. Mm-hmm. And it felt like you're in the video game and they did a really good job of that. So
no, you're totally right. It was like from the jump, I think this is maybe episode two, but like from the jump, where Maximus pulls the guy off of the person he's beating up and the guy's like, well, he was fucking my chickens. It's like such a perfect, like, this is the wasteland. Here's exactly how this is going to go. The bad people are gray. Nothing really quite works. But I agree. I had some friends over watching it with me and they were sort of like, man, the next Fallout game, it would be so fun to be able to, sort of similar to like how Skyrim mods allow you to like start in different places. It'd be so fun to do a ghoul playthrough. It'd be so fun to do this,
100%.
That, and the other part that I love is they filled in a lot of, or they redefined or maybe like better defined vault dwellers. Because in the games, a lot of times you're playing as a vault dweller. And so there's like a line that Lucy was like, you know, treat others how you want to be treated or whatever. And you're just like, you're such a fucking vault dweller. And I just love that.
Oh my God, the whole scene with the old lady when she's just like, fucking
she's like, go back
dweller.
To your fucking vault.
With Walton Goggins. And then she's like, excuse me, sir, but I think everyone here feels like the actions you've taken have been offensive. Like, it was like, I loved Ella Purnell.
I have an Easter egg behind that. Actually, so when she's you know, submitting herself to be married off and she's stipulating her skill sets, that is how you distribute points in the game. And the things that she said she specialized in was speech.
Specialized.
She's special. Specialized.
No, you know, when you're it's selecting your stats in Fallout, it's like SPECIAL or whatever.
There you go.
Oh, no,
I think
that.
I just spelled spatial, but. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, good. But it was speech, repair, and I think research. I can't remember what the third one was, but they built that into her character style. So when she gets out, she uses speech first and foremost. She tries to talk her way out of situations. Mm-hmm. She's able to kind of like tinker and repair. So I kind of love that they distributed stat points and that was the character. So it makes me wonder sort of like how the other two distributed their skill sets, because I don't think Maximus did a very good job.
No, full strength, zero charisma.
Yeah.
Zero full intelligence. Strength, just full. Like.
My God. Which is appropriate for his character.
Brotherhood of Steel, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's got high stamina, but like he I don't actually think he put enough stat points in strength because he couldn't carry much, and he got his. What is it? You get your.
He did okay in that. He did okay in that fight where they all came from. I was a little worried though, but when he went up against like the people trying to steal his armor, his power armor.
That's true.
And then right afterward, his squire is like lifted down by the shoulders. So
yeah,
funny.
I'm like, ugh. I one thing I do want to talk about with the three characters that I loved. You kept on saying that the ghoul's like Clint Eastwood, and it's definitely the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes. Here being reflected. Ooh. And I mean, like, obviously we have Lucy, who's good. We have Max, who's like, when they're in the medical tent, that scene gave me chills. Mm-hmm. When the other soldier was like, yeah, I told them you wouldn't hurt a fly, and later it's revealed that they did that to themselves. But I was like, is Max, like, terrible?
No. Also, you know? I think, and you know, we can just touch briefly on some of, like, the online discourse in reaction to the show, and I think, like, the Maximus character and that actor maybe has been one of the few kind of, like, not controversial, but, like, sticking points for some audience members, because I think that is, like, that character is meant to be complicated, ambiguous. We don't know if they put the razor blade in the boot till the end of the series.
Right, yeah.
We don't know, like... The character does all kinds of things in the
He lets his knight
run
alive. Like, I was okay, that guy was brutal. I mean, like, the guy was really not kind and, like, super vicious.
I wanted him to stim back the outline.
Michael Rappaport in a scene-stealing role. Yeah, but I mean, he does all kinds of things. Like, he lies to Lucy for multiple episodes about who he is. He does all kinds of things.
He takes that villages or that... Remember
he's willing to take their nuclear reactor core or whatever, the fusion thing,
I would be,
right?
Too, if I was playing the game. Let me tell you, it's the wasteland.
Chaotic evil in games. Yes. These two are chaotic evil.
No, actually, surprisingly so. If I'm disappointing people in a video game, I cannot handle the consequences of that. I always play good.
Oh, really?
If I'm playing a tabletop game, you best believe I'm bringing my chaotic foot forward.
Okay.
We should do some break room D&D.
Hell yeah. My God. Yes.
What does this say, Jackie? I love your good, bad, and ugly metaphor, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Lucy and the ghoul are, like, so clearly defined opposite ends of a spectrum, and they're, like, hard on those opposite ends of the spectrum.
For
right?
Now.
Total nihilism that, like, we then see at the end, actually, there's something a little under that nihilism for the ghoul, right? Mm-hmm. He's not just to, like, fuck the world. He does have something he still cares about a little bit. And Lucy is so, like... good above all, though actually then she shades a little bit more towards the middle by the end.
I think once you decapitate a head off a corpse, like you passed the point, and you just
I mean, and you saw
cheerful.
It in her head too, right?
She was so
like,
cheerful.
Fuck
she was
it,
like,
okie dokie.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to point out, there was an exceptional monologue from the doctor, or I forget, he's from the Enclave. Is his name Filzig? I think I have him. Wilzig, and he's talking to Lucy, and he's like, just go back to the vaults. He's like, or you're going to, and he does that whole cockroach analogy, and he's like, or you'll learn to adapt and be an entirely different animal that you don't even recognize.
I mean, and there was a lot of that foreshadowing. That even great. When she meets, again, I can't remember his name, but Michael Emerson's character.
That's
is that Wilzig?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Wilzig.
Because he says that a couple of times. He's like, I don't think you're willing to do what you have
to do. He's one of the only people that knows what life is like in the vaults on the surface.
Right.
And so he knows... what she is at her core, and he's like, you're not ready for this.
So I'm assuming we put a bow on the screenwriting a little bit because we moved on to acting. I do want to talk to you guys about some of the kind of like tertiary people. You know, you've got Moldover, you've got Norm, Charlie, I think is the cousin's name.
Chet. Cousin line was so.
Again, this is the
first 10
this
minutes
is the,
of the
fun
show,
writing. Yeah. She's like, I'm just tired of doing cousin stuff, and I was like, what? You're tired of what? Oh, okay. You
but
really
how
were
it be
doing
their
cousin
reality?
Stuff. I genuinely.
Can we get into real quick? Does that mean over the pants? What do you think?
Oh my gosh!
No, I think that's. I
we're
think
not
that's full everything.
If I may, she jumped that Raider's bone so fast, knowing it was her duty. She knew.
I mean,
she knew what
that
she
was one of my favorite parts of the pilot too. Is when he takes all his clothes off, and you're like, oh yeah, cool. Disgusting, this guy's a raider, piece of shit, rape scene. And then she's like, let's go.
Oh my God. Well, you know, I want to ask y'all, because I've watched this with a couple people, and
Did you instantly know at the wedding that they were raiders, or did
with the scars and the people are eating weird things off of forks?
Some of my friends did not know, and I was like, "Oh, dude!" As soon as one of them went like this on the other person, I think it's Maud's doppelganger's plate. I was like, "These people are."
And they did a nice job. I will say, like, this show did a great job of like playing with tone. There was a lot of horror in this show, mixed with other tones, but like that slow creeping dread as you're beginning to realize these people are not who they say they are.
Even from the shot of them when the vault door opens, it's like all silhouette, all from behind. You don't really get to see them. The camera's moving back. It feels like you're in a horror movie. And then when they're at the dinner and she says that iconic line that people are saying of like, what's your sperm count? Don't you think your vault doctor has all of the, you know, measurements for you? Is like another thing that was like, oh yeah, he doesn't have a vault doctor. He's
not
a raider.
That if you go back and watch that scene, the body language is
100%.
They've got greasy hair, they're unkept, everyone else is so pristine, and next to them, like, they've got dirty suits all over them. So it was like, I thought it was quite obvious, it was just a when, not if
happened. I loved it though, because you, like you said, it had this horror element, right? Like, you're like, something.
What did I say about that word?
Bad. Horror.
You can say it.
I'm a bad enunciator.
There was also a horror.
After Mom pointed it out to me, Americans say horror in a terrible way. Moving on. But yeah, that scene was brilliant. That was probably one of my, that was like a selling point for me on the show. She comes out in that wedding dress with like the blood all over, and she's got like the ammo and the pickle juice death, the fork. Like, I'm sorry, that scene hit for me.
Point at
Maud. Yeah, I was like, Maud,
it was a terrible day.
Maud, I will never.
But the glass eye looks really good, Maud.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of whores. Speaking of whores, Kyle MacLachlan plays the overseer.
McLean?
How is that a segue?
I didn't get that.
His actions toward the end of the show are kind of son of a bitchy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That was such a stretch.
That was a stretch, but we'll let it.
Segue. Thank you. Someone put it in the chat.
Yes.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Brilliant. Love it.
Very fun irony that he gets to meet his hero Cooper with the Twin Peaks connection of it all. But what do we think of his performance?
Standout.
I love Kyle. Yeah.
He's great in everything.
Well, especially he is so good at portraying that kind of like moral simplicity, that fresh face, like gee whiz kind of a thing. You don't expect him to be more complicated than that. So it is kind of a surprise reveal at the end. Even though they foreshadow that multiple times, Moldover, the first second we meet her, says to Lucy something like, you don't really know who your dad is or something, right?
Big plot hole that you kind of brought up earlier. Moldover comes out. How does Hank not know?
Yes, so that was really bumping me, is because she shows up and he does not recognize her. Later on in that episode, he says, I think I know who you are. So there's like...
Then the flashback, she looked identical.
I know,
we don't know that he met her
The past. But it's
we know Cooper met her, but we don't know that he met her.
They worked in the same building, did they not?
And Hank, you know, went and did what he did at Shady Sands. I feel like it's very... Listen, I get it. You could be like, oh, well, they somehow never crossed paths. It just kind of didn't hit.
She should have put on a wig.
Just pointing out what.
No, it was a bummer because when we were writing that.
Or do
no wigs in the post-apocalypse?
Or wear a mask or something. But I guess a vault. I don't know. I just felt like it could have been hidden a little bit better.
I think he should have seen her and then ran, like the coward that he is, and abandoned Lucy, maybe.
Oh my god!
Can you also just kind of give a little bit of like? You're not expecting this person to be someone from your past. You think it's just the overseer from the vault next to you. It's been X, you know, almost
maybe
decades since you've seen this person. You know.
Though it's also,
I don't know, you're right.
It is a little sus. Just to point out, like, once we learned
that. I forgave it. I was like, eh.
Well, I was writing the episode one breakdown script, and I was pitching in, and I was like, okay, how does this all piece together? Because if she knows that Lucy looks just like her mother, and Kyle MacLachlan says that to her earlier, but he doesn't recognize... You're right. There was like a lot of spinning wheels that just didn't quite add up.
Yeah, I feel like that could have been a little bit better.
And hold on, she had her the mum's pit boy as well. So it's it sounds like the mum ran off to be with Moldova.
I thought so, too.
It does seem like...
That's why she was still...
I agree 100%.
McLean wasn't doing his due diligence in many ways there. Well, also even... So she takes Hank because he will give her the code when they eventually... When the fission... arrives via the head of Whipzig or whatever, right? Like, why not also take Lucy, knowing you might need some leverage over Hank to get the
cut? Well, she gave the option in the first episode. I don't know. You're right. Mm. We should move on.
I'm going to tell you right now, the more we talk about this, the more we're going to find little things.
Little things.
And it is like, think about it. It's such an incredibly complex show.
Yeah.
They not only have to do world building, you have to do like three different world buildings, right?
Yes.
In one show. Yeah. So it's
I forgave it. I just was like, I think that was one thing. Like Maude brought up at the end, there were some things where I was like, okay, this all didn't quite add up for me, you know? Which is like, hey, you put together a beautiful show. I enjoyed it. I'm like into my second rewatch already, you know? Ooh. So it's like, I ain't complaining, yeah. You know? But it's like, okay.
Hey, did you enjoy the...
That happened just when your email notification...
Hey! And yeah. You know what? I'm about to talk about what I just got an email about.
Okay.
Hey, did you enjoy the old-timey pastiche of Fallout? Well, travel back in time to 1997 with the Break Room team on Wednesday. I'm not talking about the X-Men.
I know.
I'm talking about NerdRiot.shop. That's right.
Oh,
Wednesday is finally the day the Break Room merch drops. Stay tuned. We've got a lot of very cool X-Men-inspired designs right now. We can show some of those on the thing.
Show some of those.
Oh,
there's Scott Summers. There's Storm.
I stole that shirt off the screen.
There's Xavier. We've got a dope Gambit design that's on the site now, too.
I was like, where's Gambit?
We just don't have a graphic for it.
Check out episode 5 yet.
Oh, I've already heard some very disheartening news. I got spoiled. But Gambit with the mullet and the crop top in episode 1. You were sitting next to me. I was having a very, very real reaction to that. He was next to me. I was like, Gambit.
Is this big enough? Here's our Gambit shirt.
Oh my God, I want.
That's just
I want.
The design
is
now.
It tie dye too?
This is just a shirt. I think you get it on a normal shirt. But
Gambit
I might
is
have to
so
AJ Locasio, is that the Gambit voice actor?
Big
he's also
New
a fan. A fan of New Rockstars.
Hey, you did a great job.
You're great.
He's great.
Hey. Come back to us on Wednesday. Grab some Break Room merch. You're going to want to watch the teaser video that we put together. Eric Voss is going to be in town next week, which is very exciting. He'll be on the show. We're doing a big blowout for merch. I'm very excited. You guys finally get some of the stuff in your hands.
Cool.
Let's move on to more Fallout stuff.
Okay.
The direction, the visuals of this show, the production design, man, did they fucking nail it, in my opinion.
Yes.
It feels like they just took the video games and they're like, make this.
Yep.
Curious to hear what you guys think.
Overall, I think that the visual effects were really great, except one moment I was a bit like, eh. It was, I can't remember which one it was, but I just remember visually, like, it just
oh,
was
I wonder
mine
that
was
that
when
one.
The gulper fingers were kind of getting
oh, yeah, that was bad. Like, I love the Yagwe. I thought the Yagwe was great.
That's funny. We're on opposite sides because I thought that the gulper was good.
You didn't
the Yagwe
was
at
like,
times looked like a guy in a suit because he was like upright the whole time. And I was
no,
like,
I thought the Yagwe, the
bear,
the
first couple episodes.
He was big though.
He was big.
And I did not like that knight at all. So I was kind of knight Titus, right?
Oh,
I didn't
yeah,
like the knight. So I was happy that he was getting effed up. That whole scene was hilarious, by the way. Like, I felt like the Brotherhood tone was so heavy. And then to hear him be like, fuck, 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 and running away, I was just like, this is so, it's so Fallout humor though, you know? So it was, I like that.
We were talking in the office last week about like, they went the direction of making the knights, it seems like a very practical suit. Right, like they literally climbed
it,
in
and
that.
It was. I believe
it all
they
looks
had
like they're
a
walking
suit
around on set.
Yeah, yeah.
And like for good and bad, I think they look great, and it makes more sense. It's probably easier to act with off of. You know, I think it's like they're clearly not like 3,000 pounds of hardened steel. They're made of some kind of foam or whatever. And occasionally they look a little lightweight.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right.
But whatever, I forgive that. I don't mind a man.
A little bit too is that the suit is powered, right? And so it looks lightweight because theoretically you can kind of move in it.
Yeah.
Like, there's hydraulics not really.
And whatever. It was so cute when Max was like getting acclimated with it. And he was just like, I feel like that's how we would be. We'd be like,
I'm gonna chuck the shit in the ocean.
Yeah, and then like
accidentally knocks over a bar or whatever.
Yeah, it was super cute. Aww.
I want to add another category in here too. You know, speaking of the power armor, one of the things that like brought me a lot of nostalgia was the sound of the power armor when it was running around. I was like, ooh, that's so good. Between the score, which I thought was really good, done by Raman Djawani. I can't remember how to pronounce his name. And from Westworld.
I love about that, though, is that they actually use songs from the radio in-game from many of the different games.
And I don't think we ever confirmed this, but I was watching it with a buddy. It felt like... there were some songs from the games in the middle of the episodes, but there were also some songs that were not in the games in the episodes. But it did feel like the first song and the last song were kind of like iconic songs from the games. Mm-hmm. I didn't go back and like do the research to make sure that was true, but that's sort of how it felt.
Yeah, the soundtrack was phenomenal.
So good.
The Pip-Boy sound effects, that's... like the buzzing and like the prickling kind of sounds for it all. Like I loved that. That for me was straight away. And the clacking of like the old school computers, again, taken straight from the game. So aesthetically, they did such a good job of bringing things from the game to life to make it look, sound, and feel like the game, which I love.
Down to like things they didn't need to do. They could have gotten televisions from the 1950s and 60s, but they didn't. They went ahead and designed the television set after what's in the video game to make it look authentic. Yeah. You know, they did all those kinds of small details. Speaking of, we didn't talk about Matt Berry, his little cameo in the bar or whatever in that one episode.
At the party,
So I just thought it felt so Fallout.
So I, just talking about the world building and just like how they nailed it right from the get-go, that opening scene is like probably one of the best opening scenes I've seen in a show in so long. Like first introducing the world so well, right? Like there, you see the TV and you see the home and they're like right outside of Los Angeles, and then like establishing like Coop's like tragic backstory. He's talking about alimony and he's like, hey, this isn't like the time to be doing the thumbs up thing. And then the switch from like this fun little awkward party, we know like something's happening, but then the switch to animal, from human to animalistic, like in a second.
He
like
punches the guy getting into the shelter.
That scene,
totally.
The people tripping all over like lawn chairs and stuff like that. And then Coop and his daughter just like riding off in the distance, and you just see, like, I'm getting chills thinking about it again.
Happened. You just don't know.
And it, you know, it's been rare. I thought that his daughter, when she was staring at the bomb for the first time with that fear in her eye, like some of the better child acting I've seen.
Really, I agree.
She nailed that like literally 15 seconds where I was sitting there and I was like, I wonder if the like director talked to her parents for like, can we actually show her something fucking scary?
I know,
or something like
that.
She was so good.
Yeah.
And you the dad Zach is like, yeah, they probably didn't do that.
No, it's called acting. John.
Oh, we're the class of Meisner over here, Zach. All right. We're gonna scare the shit out of people if we have to.
Marathon Man. It's called acting, my boy.
Can I just say one thing about the fact every single Fallout, sorry for more Easter eggs, but every single Fallout game starts with the same message. Mm-hmm. And it's Ron Perlman, the actor, saying, war. War never changes. And so I thought it was interesting that this show didn't start with that, but it ended with that line said by Walton Goggins' wife, Barb, in the show. But what I did like is that the other synonymous thing with Fallout is that the logo is this guy put with the thumbs up, and everyone thought that he's like, yay! And it's not the case. Mm-hmm. Like the whole big thing behind that was, if you put your thumb out and the atomic bomb is bigger than your thumb, you got to book it.
If it's smaller than your thumb, you run. If it's bigger, then it's too late.
You're done.
Which is so like frightening. Heavy.
Because it's such a happy little dude with his eye. That's why his eye's shut. I love that they brought that up in the first part of the game, because it's a really organic way to pay such homage to the what is so important and intrinsic to Fallout. So the 100%. Fact that like both of those big things that are necessary bookended the show really happened. I do think that visuals and how they brought the video game to life is the best part about this show.
Also, can we talk about Barb? Like, I did not see that coming. Like, I was like, there's this happy, cute couple, and then like she's in that like CEO war room meeting or whatever, and it's just like so saccharine and sweet, but like saying stuff, and I'm like,
because at that point you've forgotten about the like alimony line.
And I was just like, this, like, I thought that actor did a really great job, because I just did not see that coming at all.
Do you want to have another fun fact about that particular scene?
Oh yeah, please.
Okay, so when they were going like the round robin discussions of what do you think we should do with the vault, and they were firing off ideas, each single one of those ideas actually actually exist in the game.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
So the experiments that happened, we saw that one already. The vault where it's like we should separate the children from the adults and see which one survives.
So
there's a, I think it was like one of the Fallout vaults. There was no one over 15. So it's like all of those things that they're just spurring actually exist in the game.
I do think that the vault tech stuff is my favorite of like all Fallout universe stuff. And you mentioned the opening sequence. I just kind of want to bring up like Fallout 4. Fallout 4, the Vault 111, their whole kind of conceit was some of this cryo freeze stuff that we deal with in the show. And your main protagonist, his their partner gets murdered, their baby gets stolen and like grows up to be a bad, anyway, spoilers. Yeah. I like that this show kind of paralleled the opening of Fallout 4. The opening of Fallout 4 is like, Vault Tech guy is at your door. He's like, hey, do you want to buy a vault? Blah, blah, blah. And then the bombs drop and you have to like flee and then you go underground. I liked how this show did something similar, which is like, you know, obviously that's not the end result that Cooper gets, but, you know, just like being able to repeat that. And I thought they did a better job.
Is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Guys, Bob is the one who's saying we should drop the bombs.
Yes.
But the daughter is with
I know. Her. I actually wanted to
not her.
No.
His daughter's at with, the party.
Yeah, with
while he's doing Coop. The
couch. Oh, yes.
So what I
Oh, do you think it's because it was a weekend?
Hold on.
Mods dropping all of these lore facts. I have a lore fact.
We, that's I actually, to dig into that for
that's
sure.
actually just a straight okay. up loop or a plot hole. Technically, actually, the bombs would have dropped in Los Angeles at like 6:45 in the morning. So to have a birthday party when the bombs are dropping was a little bit like, who the fuck got up this early for that party?
When is the time established?
In other Fallout games.
Oh, just based on the games. But of course, we're saying we're not totally following the game.
But it is canon, this show, supposedly.
So it should have been honoring that. It's okay.
And
it's a better
scene.
By the way, I looked at it like, excuse me, let me clarify right here for a second. That was great. No, but I do want, we were wanting to talk about what happened to the daughter. Like, I think she started to become a ghoul, and he probably had to do something really bad.
You saw him kill his friend, Dale? His friend the that was like starting to turn.
So, but he says at the very end, right? We can talk a little bit about the very end. And I like that so much of the ghoul and Barb and is part of the dangle for the season two, right? We think maybe that's where their Kyle MacLachlan is going to go to where Barb is, whatever. That like, we don't know what happened after those bombs drop and him and the daughter ride off on a horse. How did he get separated from the daughter? Why is she with the mom now? Or
at the end, too, he said, where's my fucking family, right?
Yeah. So the daughter has been established. His only stake in this is to know where his family is. And I'm guessing not wife after...
Yeah, I don't know. The daughter could be alive, but I initially thought. But then when he said, "Where's my family?" Then I was like, "Oh, maybe he got her into a vault at the last second." I want to know.
Yeah, maybe she's with mom. Maybe she's just with neither parent.
I hope she's some kind of.
Maybe he threw her in a vault. Yeah.
I was just mentioning Fallout 4. Baby gets taken away from you. Becomes what is the faction in Fallout 4 where the guy becomes like he becomes like a cult figure? Your son, and you meet your son at an old age. Could she be an antagonist in a future season, right?
Like a fire mother type of
character. Yeah, oh my God.
Like so let's talk about the end of this. Okay. Let's talk about the end of this show. Let's talk about season two. We do know that I don't think Amazon has announced officially a season two, but we do know from like tax credit, stuff in the trades that it sounds like they're going to be doing a season two. So let's just, and obviously how the show ends. Let's quickly talk about how the show ends and kind of... what we can expect from season two. I will be right back.
Get out of here.
Should we pause?
You drop all that.
I'm so sorry. All of a sudden started to feel very sick, so I will be right back.
Oh, no.
Continue.
I got you. Okay, first of all, Norm, our younger brother Norm here, who's been locked into Vault 31, and his only options are to starve to death or to freeze in one of the cryo chambers. What do you think's happening?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. Gosh.
Yeah.
I think interesting that they don't see him make that choice.
No. Yeah. So we don't know.
I think we're led to believe he will probably jump into a pod, but also maybe he just steps on
the brake. Thank you. I was like, when I was watching, I was like, why does he just kick this thing? Why kick the Roomba? And by the way, in the closed captioning, it said brain on a Roomba.
Yes, I love
and
that.
And I was dying. But yeah, I was kind of like, why is he like listening to this dude? I'd be like, listen, brain, I'm going to step on you unless you open this door, like, right now.
Let's
you
know come closer.
With a syringe, please. Don't yeah. walk away.
But I love Norm, by the way. Like, I felt like he'd a really good arc.
That actor had to do so much with, like, very little dialogue, mostly just, like, close-up face shots where he's, like, slowly realizing or just giving skeptical faces. Also, this may be the most obvious thing, but I think I didn't realize until I had finished the entire series and was thinking back on it. Betty, the woman who becomes overseer of Vault 33, was the secretary of Barb in the past.
Yes, John's back, everybody. Yes.
That they just slip out. Cooper's like, thanks, Betty, or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, and it didn't even jog because they throw out so many like Barb and Bettys and whatever old school names that it's like, oh,
that was so
her.
Good. Yes. So good. Now I want to know who the doppelganger is, because the doppelganger of Maud, that's how I just refer to is Maud's doppelganger, was also unfrozen, you know?
Yeah, but, and so we'll probably see her in the past at some point, maybe in like old Vault Tech era. She's right here, maybe.
I have a few more questions if we peel back what's going on. So we've got three vaults that are interconnected, 31, 32, 33. We discovered that 32 has been long abandoned and that 32 found out the truth many years ago, blood spattered with messaging on the walls.
Very Event Horizon.
All the crops are done. Yes. Yeah, I felt that. And then that's where the raiders kind of came in. But the door was opened from the outside with Mum's Rose's Pip-Boy. So then... if 31 has no one in it except they're all frozen and they're all sort of management, and 33 has been run by people who were frozen from 31, how did they cover the 32 mishap for so long? Why did they leave that buried?
Is there a tunnel from 31 to 33?
Yes,
or is
they're
it
all
straight
connected.
Through?
They're like in like a
triangle, that's right. There's the poster with the triangles. Yeah.
Well, and it's also interesting. So we think that just something happened in 32. They realized the management thing. To such a degree that they all went nuts and either killed each other or killed themselves. Pretty extreme. But also, Mulder, her plan is, I have a Pip-Boy, because the bomb blew up and Lucy's mom became a ghoul, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of just using the Pip-Boy to get into 33 and just bringing my raiders 32. With machine guns in there. No, into 33. Somehow she knows 32 has been abandoned.
Man, and they had to read so many like files that were like, in every 3 years we do this swap and blah blah blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like a much more complicated way than just open up the vault for 33 and start shooting.
Yeah.
But then we don't have a mystery for the show.
John and I were also talking. So like, I watched Westworld. And love had a little bit of a love-hate relationship with that
also
show.
Also true. Yeah.
Started
yeah.
really good.
So good in the beginning.
Then like,
oh God, if Fallout 2 starts with like a shitty, or Fallout Season 2 starts with like a weird beach walk and they're like.
Yes, or like peel back tired. Somebody's scalp and there's a maze ripped in their scalp or something like that.
Please.
In that show, it was such like a mystery box kind of thing that quickly just like you realize like, oh, there's not really a payoff to the mystery, and like it quickly declined. I appreciate, though, there were some elements of that, and certainly like there were some overarching mysteries that were slowly revealed, the whole nature of the Vault-Tec, what happened to Shady Sands, yada yada yada. But like, I appreciate that the show wasn't built only on that. There was other story
yes,
and
totally.
Character and interesting things. So that like, if you did kind of think too hard about the mysteries, and you're like, oh wait. It doesn't matter. It doesn't take away from the show.
I actually will say there's a couple of episodes where they were just stretching it out a little bit too long, and I kind of wish it was a little bit more of like a domino effect where we learned things a little bit earlier, which led to the next thing, which led to the next thing, instead of being held off for a long time and then an inundation of information.
That's interesting.
Can I soapbox real fast?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm right there with you. You know, I think that like J.J. Abrams, I'm a little bit of an apologist for.
Who had nothing to do with this show.
Yeah,
I'm getting
there.
I'm getting there.
Alias is one of the best shows.
I mean, like, I love Lost. Even though I know that he wasn't super involved in that. My point is, this like mystery box thing, and everyone online is like, fuck the mystery box, and J.J. Abrams is so stupid for this mystery box. I think it's like made writers averse to putting mysteries in their shows. And I love the like week to week trying to, I mean, we work in New Rockstars, right? The like week to week trying to figure out, oh, what does that line mean? Or where is this headed? Or blah, blah, blah. So I'm really thankful that they put in all these kind of mysteries. It made me, we were talking about, we didn't really get into it. The binge drop that they did really kind of was a bummer for me. I wish that they had done it
week-to-week speculation.
We could be sitting here. The first episode just came out, and we were like, holy shit, why does she know her mom? And Like, yeah. It would be so much more fun.
Think that I'm in two minds of it. Sometimes I love a good binge. I'm like, just let me watch, you know. I think that there are some programs that really do benefit from it. And from a point of view of, like, wanting to maintain viewers for as long as possible, if everyone's like, you've got to get Prime just for Fallout alone, instead of being like, cool, I binged it in 5 days and I'm out, it's like, that's 8 weeks. Yeah. That's 2 months. I mean,
they do it with The Boys, right? Or Invincible.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine? They had Invincible. That was releasing weekly. They have Fallout. If that was releasing weekly, that kind of leads you into The Boys, and that's...
Honestly, I don't know if this is true or not. This is what I was thinking. I think people were nervous about Fallout because, frankly, like, Rings of Power, they built so much hype around, and like, I still think Rings of Power could come back. You know,
$1 million an episode.
Yeah, I'm holding that hope. I know Maud definitely is. Maud's like even harder.
It could have been that expensive.
It seemed expensive, but what I think was that like they were, I think like, is this good or not? You know what I mean? Like they weren't 100% sure, and then I think when they started to hear the early reception, they were like, shoot, let's just drop this early. You know what I mean? Because it was that good. But I think they were probably a little nervous. And so they were like, maybe we just drop it all and see if people are like, I have no idea. I'm not a marketing expert by any means. But I was like thinking maybe they were just like, hey, this is better than we thought. It's getting good reception. Let's just give it.
Potentially. I also wonder if they were like, you know, you also, we might be in the minority here. There are a lot of people, anytime you have these discussions online, that immediately comment, I don't want to have to wait a week.
Yeah, I agree with that too. They want
But that's good, right? Like that as a human is a good feeling. I don't want to wait for that thing because I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, but maybe
I'm really
maybe you have other things going on in your life, John.
Yeah, that's fair.
If all you have in your life is the first season of Fallout, you need it now.
Then think about it. If that's all you have in your life, it's one and done after a couple
you might
of days.
You milk it for 2 months. That's right.
That's too funny.
Can I ask a couple things?
Yeah.
Where are you? Thumbs up, okie dokie, or Wasted?
For the full show.
What do you think? Like, how amped are you for season two? And where do you put this compared to The Last of Us as far as recent video game adaptation TV shows? And if you want to throw in Twisted Metal, none of us saw Twisted Metal, but if you saw it, throw in Twisted Metal, where do you rank this with those shows?
Chat's please. Loving it.
Yeah.
Chat loves it.
Is this for us or for chat?
For chat,
YouTube comments but okay, also for us.
Yeah. I like it better than The Last of Us. Ooh. I really, really like The Last of Us. So I feel like it's like, I say like it better than The Last of Us, but it's only by a little bit. I like anime. I like campiness. I like over-the-topness. Yeah. This was like so over-the-top. Had me laughing, but then still had these like super heavy moments. It had amazing one-liners and it made me really think. But I think we kind of talked about this at the beginning. Like it just had a levity that... my taste likes personally. I can see why people would like The Last of Us more. I do think The Last of Us is heavier. I think that the episode with Bill, I forgot his partner's name, but that has to be one of the like best like cinematic episodes, period.
And we were saying like this show never achieves the heights of that episode.
I agree.
But it's not aiming for it.
You're right.
Yeah. Just for Jackie personally, like I really liked Fallout.
Bill and Frank.
Bill and Frank, thank you. Yes. Love that episode.
I will say, it's Neil Druckmann who did Last of Us. He wrote
and
the
Craig
show.
Mason, but
Yeah,
so as like an ensemble, like they kind of wrote and they really stayed true to the source material. I think what's interesting here is that it was a completely different story that
You're
we haven't
right.
seen.
Two very different approaches.
Game.
I love that.
But the thing that they have in common is a big ass budget. And I think if you're going to delve with anything video game related, you need to put money behind it because the story's already there. The fan base is already there. It's inbuilt. The IP's fantastic. If you can do justice with that script, put money behind it.
Yes. Well, especially because the games have so much money put into them that if you can't.
$100 million games.
Then why even make it into a show, right?
Yeah. For me, I think that this was better, again, couching this by saying, we've all said it, loved The Last of Us show. I think I enjoyed this show more than The Last of Us because I had already played The Last of Us a few times through, such a familiar story, and while I did love it, it wasn't like, the emotional moment at the end of that game or show is like so hard hitting. Mm-hmm. And when you watch it for like the fourth time, it's like, yep, that was what was going to happen. And I'm sad, but like, you know, whatever. So this being a new show, I think is what
that's a really
puts
good
it over
point.
The top for yeah. me. Because yeah. I don't like it more than The Last of Us video game.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Okay.
We were talking about another video game that we should want to see adapted into a TV series. And that's you and right. I were saying BioShock, but you think one and I think two.
Infinite's three.
Three?
Yep. I think, do them all. Fuck it, you know?
Yeah.
I think BioShock Infinite 2 is like so pretty and so gorgeous. It's so different than, you know, the first couple of BioShock movies. I think that would be really
but
fun.
But like the magic abilities. It's like what the Witches. The Witch is another great example. Yeah. Except they have lost the damn plot.
Yeah.
They didn't stick with the source material. And there's like a whole dang video game and book series.
Yeah. And
right
book
there.
Series.
There
yeah.
you go.
That's the problem with adapting The Witcher soapbox again. Because like, who do you try to please? Do you try to please the book people?
Good
do you
point.
Try to please
you try
the
to
video
please
game people?
Henry
you can't.
Fucking Cavill.
You can't please anyone.
They couldn't even do that.
I see some people saying Mass Effect trilogy. We had already talked about BioShock, but if I had to pick another one, I think it would be like Red Dead Redemption 2 or something like that.
Take Walton Goggins,
buff right
in there.
Yeah. You know, shit like that.
Well, and speaking of Henry Cavill, I know it's a little different. He's making a Warhammer show for
That's
Amazon,
right?
right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's far too much armor for that man, but I'll watch it anyway.
He can do no wrong. I love him. Maybe Final Fantasy VII. I'm loving Rebirth right now. I like love that game, and I have been so busy I can't play it. Like I'm like I think through the first act,
I'd love to see some
JRPG come to life. I don't know if it ever.
I don't think people realize in this job we consume so much media that to consume the media that we like truly, truly, truly love
for fun,
we have to like we have to like clear our schedules and like light a candle and take a bath or something.
I've got an idea. Just came to me. So it's like a small town murder mystery kind of scope with like, you know, quite a strong drama, but it's set in Stardew Valley.
Oh my God.
I want to see those characters brought to life.
That'd be so fun.
Stardew
That'd
Valley.
That'd be so good, right? I'll fucking write it. I don't care. Excuse me. I'm getting hyped into it.
What is really interesting about everything we're talking about is that video games create such beautiful, wonderful worlds. And it's like taking that world and not trying to change it too much, like honoring it, respecting the fandom. And I think that's like really just the key to success. Also, working closely with the creator. Todd Howard was like heavily involved with this
right,
project.
And Neil Druckmann on The Last of Us side, absolutely.
Every time I hear about an adaptation shitting the bed, I literally read something about them not working closely with the creators. I like with
Halo. Halo is a great example. I like the visual. They have got money behind it, but they pissed off the entire Halo community by going way off script. Like they just thought, hey, you know what? You've got how many video games? You've got lore. You've got books. We're just going to do our thing with Master Chief, and we're going to take off his helmet. Exactly.
And I will say, because there's going to be people in the comments, we know that Todd Howard did not create Fallout, but he is truly like the godfather of Fallout at this point after doing
it. And one of the godfathers of the video game industry,
truly.
Frankly. So, yeah.
The godfather?
Hey, I would take a fucking Skyrim movie or
show.
Oh, my
God!
Absolutely. Why not?
That would be such...
So
a big project to tackle, though. I like that. I would be scared to
if,
do that.
If Prime did Skyrim instead of doing Rings of Power.
Oh, that's it. That's
where
what we
would we be today? Anyways, thank you guys
don't
so much.
Leave us on that now. Okay,
well,
we'll
no.
percolate
go
on
home,
that,
think
everybody.
About it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for watching The Break Room today. We'll be back for season two. Obviously, that'll probably be in a few
2027?
Years. But stick around. We're talking about X-Men 97. We've got The Acolyte coming out soon. We've got a bunch of crazy stuff. The boys. Stick around. We will be here for all of your nerdy fandom needs. Thank
Thumbs
you
up, everybody.
Watching. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Break Room live streams at Break Room NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. You can find us at Break Room NR on Instagram and X. Thanks for listening. Later, Gators.